Welcome to the Salem Baptist Church Podcast. Join us now as Dr. Jeff Beckett delivers our weekly worship service message.
Well, thank you so much, musicians, the very, very small, limited crew we had in putting this recorded. It's pre-recorded worship service together. Just for your information, the service records in midweek. And by the time this service records, and then you actually watch it 3 days from now or so, a lot could change in the world. So there may be things you know when you see this that I don't know at this moment. One thing we do know is that the area here, our Wake County, is about to go into sort of a shelter-in-place rule. And so that could even affect what our worship service recording looks like next week. But we will see. Out of communion, flowing out of communion, I have some great thoughts about hope. Hope is what I want to talk with you about for these closing moments of our communion service. I'm at that stage in life and at Salem where a lot of happy memories flow. And as we were singing, I Stand Amazed a little bit ago, I was remembering 10 years ago, because 10 years ago is when we opened this facility. It was January, I think, 10 years ago, and we sang I Stand Amazed, first or second psalm in that order of worship that day. I actually didn't preach that morning, the opening service in this building. That was Clayton King, and Clayton and I were sitting by each other, and the power in this room when we sang, I Stand Amazed, oh my goodness. Clayton leaned over, and he's about half Pentecostal anyway, if you don't know Clayton. And he said, oh my. He said, the Spirit was all over that. And he was right. And thinking back to that first Sunday here in this facility that we'd worked so hard to get into place, I was just flooded with hope about how God was going to use this facility. And looking back 10 years now, I have that perspective of a decade. That's all. God's going to use this facility for many more decades. But I have that first decade perspective, and I have seen so many people come to faith, be discipled in the faith, get baptized, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right here in this facility. Coming out of communion today, there is a great spirit of hope that I want to address with you in the scriptures. We're going to be in Hebrews 10, verse 23. That'll be the key verse. We'll actually look at a few verses in Hebrews 10. So if your copy of scriptures, your digital Bible, if you'll look to Hebrews 10, you'll see the scriptures where I'll be focused on today in just a moment. You know, communion is just full of hope. Here's why I say that. So Jesus was toward the end of his earthly ministry. He was just a few hours away from being betrayed, tried, falsely accused, crucified. All that was just a few hours away. And yet he sits down at that Passover gathering, a sort of a yearly event on the Jewish calendar with his disciples, transforms it into communion, and then says to them, now as often as you do this, the implication of that statement being in the future, like tonight isn't the end, this weekend isn't the end, there's going to be an awful lot of happy occasions in the future when this thing called a church that hasn't even really formed yet, but it's going to form and it's going to celebrate what I'm doing this weekend. So as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Think about me. Think about what I'm committing tonight and this weekend. So communion is full of hope. And so that word is on my brain tonight as we record. You'll be seeing this. We're recording here on Wednesday evening, but you'll see this on Sunday at around 11, I hope, or close to it. So I want you to know there is hope. I want you to know that there is hope for a lot of reasons. The best being that God tells us there is hope. I can tell you personally, anecdotally, that there's hope because I have found hope in Christ, a hope I did not have apart from Christ. And so that's what I want to talk about with you for a minute. The definition of hope in the dictionary is a feeling of expectation and desire for certain things to happen. But biblically, hope is so much more than that. Biblically, hope is the condensed essence of our expectation in Christ. Here's how Paul said it to the church at Corinth. He said, "Now abides these three: faith, hope, love." Paul said, you kind of condense all of this, the law and the prophets and a whole lot of things down. These three things kind of are what's left after a lot of things have condensed: faith, hope, and love. And so I want to talk to you about the middle of those three things that Paul was describing. I want to talk to you about hope. What a great word. We use it still today, all the time. We use it with a lot of adverbs and adjectives. We talk about the great hope, or we talk about false hope, or we talk about only hope. And in the media every day, we're hearing about how much hope is there that this virus, this pandemic is going to pass. So today, I want to use the word hope, but I want it to transform in our minds to something more. Not to earthly hope, the way that we tend to use it. I want us to think about the hope that you have in Christ. Tonight, when I read the key passage, you're going to see the word hope used, but it's used with a definite article. All right, those of you who love a little grammar, I want you to look for the word. I think it pops up in verse 23, and I want you to see that the definite article is used in front of it. In other words, tonight, we're not talking about a hope or one hope. We're talking about the hope, okay? Sort of put that in your brain, the hope. Here's one way to say that from the perspective of belief, of faith. If you have Jesus, you have the hope. If you do not have Jesus, no matter what else you have, good health, tons of money, great house, no matter what else you have, if you do not have Jesus, you have no hope. And that really is the very, very basic, simple, black and white biblical message that's going to come at us today in the Word. One final little anecdote or story illustration, I guess, before we open Hebrews 10. About a year ago, I shared with you in a sermon a story that I had read that has really stuck with me through the years. It was the 1920s, and there was an experimental submersible, call it a submarine. They weren't really calling them those in the 20s, but they were trying to learn some things about it. There's a crew of like seven men inside of it, and it had a technical malfunction. Well, it didn't really have a technical malfunction. A boat that didn't realize it was there ran into it, a Coast Guard boat, and it sank to the bottom off the shore of Massachusetts. And you got seven men, and several of them were killed instantly as their compartments filled with water. But about three of the men managed to get in the nose of the little submersible where there was an air pocket, though the air was quickly dissipating as they were breathing with every breath. They sent divers down, but in those days they had poor salvage or rescue means, and the divers really could do nothing but just check on the situation. As they got down to the nose of the little submersible, they could hear the men inside with some sort of metal pipe clanging on the hull of their little submersible. Is there any hope? And they didn't have the heart to tap back in Morse code, no. So they simply didn't answer. And the tapping within a few minutes disappeared to nothing, to silence. So today, I want to talk to you about hope, but the best kind, not a hope or one hope. I want to talk to you about the hope you have in Christ. So here are the scriptures. This is Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. All right, so we just celebrated that through communion, through the sacrifice of Christ. A way has been made for us to come to God, to find redemption, to find fellowship with the Father. Jesus did that. We just celebrated that, right? We celebrated Hebrews 10:19. And this happened by a new and living way, verse 20, opened for us through the curtain that is his body. That's why we take the body and the blood of Christ into our body and into our bloodstream, because Jesus' body and blood, they are the way. They are the door. That's what he meant when he said, I am the door. They are the way to find our way into fellowship with God. Now look at verse 21. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And now the key verse, Hebrews 10:23, our key verse for the day. And let us hold unswervingly. There's a word we don't use very often, but it does us well to ponder it. Unswervingly, right? That means no wavering, no hesitating, no equivocating. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope. There it is, the hope, definite article. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. That's the key verse. Now, I actually want to read just a couple more verses from Hebrews 10. Let's look at verse 24 and 25, and we'll conclude the passage. Verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. What a great verse. Well, that's a really well-appointed verse for the days in which we're living. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together. I wanted to include this because it's ironic, right? We feel like we've had to give up meeting together, but really, have we? Not exactly. Not giving up meeting together. We just took communion together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God bless the reading of his word in the aftermath of communion. So, just a word for you this morning. Nothing is more tragic than to see someone who has lost their hope. It's what the enemy does. If he can steal your hope, he's got you. And he's got you right where he wants you. In fact, if you read a little bit of World War II history, it's one of the first things the Nazis did in the concentration camps. They had the concentration camp captives, moving piles of rock from one location to another. And before long, they realized they weren't doing anything. They were purposeless. And that's when the despair set in, the suicides, etc. This is what the enemy loves to do. He wants to take away your hope. But this is not what Jesus does. Jesus paid a severe price in his own flesh and in his own blood. He paid a severe price so that you could exist even in this life, not just in some future hopeful thing, but so you could exist in this life with hope. Are you experiencing that hope? You know, it's possible to follow Jesus, but not really hope in him. Judas did it, right? We just observed communion. It was really the last thing Judas did with the disciples. He slips out into the darkness, makes sure Jesus is betrayed, makes sure he gets his money bag, but then can't live with what he's done. He ends up taking his life. Why? Because his hope was never really in Christ. He was hoping for a political Messiah, a power, a seat of power at his right hand on this earth. And he didn't really bother to listen to what Jesus was offering, which was something way better, something eternal. Is your hope in Christ? So I just want to share with you a few things about that maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, share them kind of in that fashion and be done this morning. Thing one, your best and most amazing life is the life that flows from Jesus. It is your best life. Here's why. Because that life is full of hope. Most of the people on this planet are going to live their entire life and have no clue why they were on planet Earth. When you don't know why you're here, it's super hard to have real hope. You're looking for hope in everything that can never give it. Did you see Wesley's illustration? You know, little piece of fabric with a beginning and an end. If you think that's what your life is, then hope is going to be hard to find. Hope flows from Jesus for two reasons primarily. One, in Jesus, you have eternal purpose. Eternal purpose. You have that in Jesus. The question of why you're on planet Earth is answered in Jesus. He created you, says in Colossians. Says he made everything. Everything that is because of him. And it was made by him and through him and it was made for him. You're on planet Earth for Jesus. To bring him glory. It's your purpose. And when you figure that out, you have hope. But that hope is not just in a moment or in a thing. It's not just in a dollar or a possession. That hope is eternal in Christ. Jesus doesn't just answer the why am I here question. Jesus answers the where am I headed question. All right, those are the two main things that crush people's hope. I don't know why I'm here. We lose hope. Second thing that crushes people's hope. I don't know where I'm headed. I don't know what happens after I die. Crushes people's hope. But Jesus addresses all of that. He gives us a better promise, a promise that is rock steady, that will not fail. And in observing communion together, we've kind of latched on to that promise as those who actually believe it. We believe what Jesus said when he said, "And I'll not drink this fruit of the vine with you until I drink it fresh and new with you in my Father's kingdom." That is hope. Is that hope in you? So I defined hope from dictionary terms earlier. Let me define hope from biblical terms. Here's hope biblically. It's a Bible verse. It's Colossians 1, 27. Great chapter. We've already mentioned Colossians 1 about four different times in this worship service now. All right. Here's what the scriptures say. Colossians 1, 27. God has chosen to make known this mystery. What mystery? The mystery of why we're on the planet, what Jesus did in creating us and giving us new life. God has chosen to make known this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There it is. Christ in you is the hope. So all of this sort of spiritual stuff I'm talking about, hope and in Christ, it might be tempting for you to say, that's just religious talk. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means Christ in you. That little phrase has like three nuances. Nuance one, Christ is the source of real human hope. He's the source. All other places we find hope are fleeting, they're temporary, and ultimately they're dissipating like sand through our fingers. Christ in you is the source of hope. Christ in you is the object of hope. In other words, how in the middle of something like a pandemic do you continue to hope? Well, if Christ is in you, that's how. Because his relationship with you is unbroken. Read Romans 8. What could separate us from the love of Christ? Could danger or nakedness or famine or the sword or COVID-19 or just fill in the blanks, right? What could separate you from the love of Christ? Read Romans 8. You're going to find the answer because it actually, Paul gives the answer. He says, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. more than conquerors. Christ is the source of your hope. He's the object of hope, and he's the end result. He's what we're moving toward, the great culmination of pain, suffering, misery, disease is not death. Did you know that? The great culmination of those things is new life in Christ. Read Revelation 21. You guys have lots of free time on your hands. I keep telling you to read stuff. Read it. Read Revelation 21. Paul says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and the old has passed away, and there's no more crying or pain or sorrow. Those things were part of the old, and they're gone. There is hope. The hope that you have in Christ truly transforms your past, your present, and your future. Think about your past. Do you have some things in it that you're not super proud of? I do. Think about your past. Now listen to Psalm 25. This is verse 3. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. That's actually Psalm 25, 1. I'll get to verse 3. I didn't want to skip those first two verses. I trust in you, God. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you, no one who's hoping in God, catch what David is saying, this Psalm of David, no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. You think David had some things in his past that he wasn't real proud of? I think we could name a few. David says, when I learned how to hope in God, to trust him, my past came under the authority of his grace and his mercy. But it's not just your past, it's your present too. My present is secure through hope in Christ. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus says, however, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. How cool is that? That in your present, in this very day, Jesus is working right now, not for your destruction. That's what the enemy's doing. He is working for your fulfillment, for your contentment. He is working for your redemption. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest, both now and forever. And in your future, there's hope. All right, so I think sometimes we kind of get stuck with like the, I know we don't listen to music this way, but like the needle in the old records, we get stuck here. I think as Christians, we kind of get stuck thinking about hope only in a future tense. Like, oh, this life, it's hard, and my past was tough, and my present is tough, but there's going to be a great future. Listen, I don't think that's really biblical. I don't think that's super obedient to think about your life that way. But your future is going to be pretty awesome. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, brothers and sisters, do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you must not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Paul says, church, don't be like the pagans. I understand, Paul says, why they don't have hope, but why shouldn't you have hope? Don't you know the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God? The dead in Christ will rise first. Church, we've got to act like those who have great hope. It says in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 35 and 36, for whoever finds me, God says this, whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. That's a kind of a simple little fork in the road that God declares in Proverbs 8. The application of what I'm suggesting to you is that it's really time for you right now today, if you've not already done so, it is time for you to secure your most prized possession. What is it? Hope in Christ. And that's where your hope is found. Have you found hope in Christ? If you have, never let go of it. If you haven't, grab a hold of it today. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second, but how do you grab a hold of it? Put your faith in Him. Trust Him. That's what Psalm 25 says. Trust in Him. That Jesus is the provision for your sin. He is the one through whom He is the new way created for us to get to God. And so we put our faith in Him, what He's done for us on the cross. Second thing I'd say to you about hope is that when you have hope, you really do have an obligation to share it. Hope concealed it's foolish. You don't get the full benefit of hope if you just keep it all to yourself. Don't conceal the hope that is in you in Christ. Hope concealed is foolish. Hope concealed is selfish. Can you imagine? How terrible would it be to have... Did you see the story? The guy in Oregon, I've got his name written down here, Vladislav Drozdik, and I don't mind mentioning it because he kind of needs to be called out. He broke into a medical facility about 4 days ago, and he stole about 12,000 N95 masks. Then he ran to Craigslist as quick as he could, and he put them for sale on Craigslist. So the medical facility went to search for their mask supply, and they were gone. Can you imagine in a day in which we're living with what medical professionals are doing for us out on the front lines? Bless your hearts, what you're doing for us. God bless you. Thank you. Can you imagine stealing a bunch, thousands and thousands of masks so you could make a quick buck? It's a terrible thought, right? Can you imagine knowing that eternal life is found only through Christ in you, that that's the only hope, and never telling anybody about it? I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of difference in those two scenarios. Hope concealed is foolish and it's selfish, and it's really kind of downright evil. 1 Peter 3:15, Peter writes, "In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Church, we do need to be prepared. In fact, this is that type of a season where if Christians are walking around full of hope and belief and faith and joy, someone's going to ask you, "What's up?" Because there's not a lot of that to be found in the world right now. If you're walking around like that, someone's going to ask you, "What's up?" Are you prepared to say, "My hope is in Christ"? And if you're not, get prepared. Pray. Ask God for that opportunity. Third thing I would say to you about the hope, definite article, the hope, is that the hope gives your life a safe shelter in the storm. It says in Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope, meaning our relationship with Christ, our great high priest. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Years ago in Texas, before I moved to North Carolina, I heard a story. It happened near my house. A fisherman, he was fishing by himself out on really kind of a small lake. It wasn't a large body of water, but it was a super hot day in Texas in summertime. And he jumped into the lake just for a quick refresher to cool down, jumped in his fishing clothes, and he didn't drop anchor. There was a little breeze that day, and by the time he'd cooled off, he looked around for his boat, which was now being pushed by the wind and currents away from him. He was in his clothes and he was soaked and he was already exhausted and tired, and he tried to swim to his boat and he couldn't. He couldn't get there. It was just drifting away from him. He drowned. Just for the simple forgetting, the failure to drop an anchor. I encourage you with what Hebrews 6:19 says. Your hope in Christ is your anchor in crazy times like a global pandemic. Is your hope in Christ? I mean, it's great when you have confidence in your fellow man and hope in your medical community and hope in your government and hope in, you know, all of these things. It's great when we can hope in one another a little bit, you know, but ultimately, that's a losing formula. Hope in Christ forms the foundation for a well-anchored soul, no matter what life throws at us. Fourth thing, you can find hope, the hope, and you can find it today. It says in Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope, isn't that a great title for God, the God of hope? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Did you catch that? That's sort of one of those conditional statements. Here's what God wants to do for you. Will you trust in him? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. Man, that's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for me, by the way, too. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says in 1 Peter 1, through him you believe in God. The him here is Jesus. Through Jesus, through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Salvation. Have you found the hope? Listen, right now, just you're on a laptop or you're on your phone, checking out Facebook Live. Just pause. Just hit pause. You can still catch the end of the service. Hit pause. And make absolutely certain right now between you and God that you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, accepting him as God's provision for life. Find your hope in Christ. Just hit pause and do that. All right? Now, last thing I want to say, fifth thing, you can reclaim your hope today. Maybe you found your hope in Christ. Maybe you were young when you did. But somewhere along the way, life crept in. The enemy was effective. His job of stealing, killing, and destroying has taken its toll. I want you to know you can reclaim your hope today. So you heard Pastor Nick share a couple verses from from Isaiah 40. And I want to read the next two verses after the two he read. So here they are. This is Isaiah 40. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Our prayer for you today. Father, we thank you for the chance to observe communion together in a really strange and odd way today. But God, we pray that in this observance you've been glorified. And I pray for the hope, the trust, the encouragement of the entire fellowship called Salem scattered out there through our community. I pray that they will not conceal, but instead share the hope they have in Christ every possible way they can in these days. May you be glorified in it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Salem. Stay tuned for all the announcements coming your way, the daily pastoral podcasts, the video blogs and announcements and everything that's happening as we try and stay in good touch with you. Don't hesitate to stay in good touch with us if you need anything. God bless you, and we're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the Salem Baptist Church podcast by Dr. Jeff Beckett. For more information about Salem, please visit our website at salem-bc.org.